Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening. Welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We are your hosts for the evening, Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg, and I'm Bob Ginsberg, and we welcome your joining us this evening. As you know, this is a live discussion group. We welcome your calls. Every month we have a different topic, and tonight's topic is Growing Up Psychic. Before we get started, you know, just wanted to mention to you guys, if Fran and I were guests on a radio show on Monday on the Psy Show, which is Dan Sturgis.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what we're doing wrong, but these guys have fun. They're drinking. They're clinking glasses. They have sound effects. And look at us. We're clicking.
There we go.
Hot seat. Yeah. Poland Spring. And we don't have any sound effects, so if you want to let one go, Tom.
Again?
Well, I think there's also a, speaking of letting one go, there's a Facebook posting that is due to go viral from one of our certified mediums.
Oh, yeah?
Rebecca Ann. Well, Cicero's son got his homework marked by a teacher as not appropriate. What did it say? Not appropriate.
Not school appropriate.
Was it about his mother?
No, he had to finish the sentence.
He had to finish the sentence.
Oh.
And it was
something about the silly clown.
The silly clown, and he said farted.
It wasn't school appropriate, but it was funny as all.
It's a clown.
Yeah. Well, tonight's show is sponsored by LNR Productions. You can find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. Fran will now, I hope, get us caught up and before we start our festivities.
I'm going to try really hard, too. The first thing that we always like to encourage everybody to do is to help support programming without spending any additional money, and there are various ways to do that. One is to go to the website and take out the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation for each card that's taken out, and each time you use it, they will donate back a portion of the money that you spend. And while you're using that Visa card, you can go to Amazon.com to do your shopping. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, everything that you purchase, a portion of that spending, without you spending any additional money, will be donated back to Forever Family Foundation by Amazon.com. And then if you're using that Visa credit card, we're getting a double whammy. So it's really, really cool and helps us pay the bills. If you don't see what you want on Amazon, there's always iGive.com, which is a fabulous mall kind of situation on the internet where you sign up, you name your charity of the choice, and we would hope your charity of choice would be Forever Family Foundation. And then whenever you shop using the iGive entry to all of these wonderful stores, and there's stores you shop at all the time, like Sears, Marshall's, 1-800-Flowers, they're all on there. There's more than 1,300 stores. And again, without you spending any additional money than what you would normally be spending on the internet, iGive.com makes a donation back to us. And that's what helps this programming stay alive and all the other free programs we run for our members at Forever Family Foundation. Now, our seventh annual original Afterlife Conference will be held this year in beautiful and warm San Diego, California at the DoubleTree Hilton Golf Resort. That will be on November 9th and 10th, and it's sponsored by Starseed Gems. Make your plans now for the Friday night banquet, featuring Kim Russo, star of the hit TV series The Haunting of. You don't want to miss Kim. And I'm going to stop and tell you why. Because we used to tell you to come to our events and our fundraisers when we had Teresa Caputo there, and people would come and they would dribble in and dribble in and dribble in. Then suddenly she's on TV and you're all knocking down the doors for the few seats that we have. So now before Kim becomes the big giant Hollywood star, because she does have the TV series and it's going into its seasons, make your plans now, get to San Diego, come to the Friday night fundraiser and watch the fabulous Kim Russo in action, bringing through spirit communication. So that having been said, I will go on with the
rest. And the bottom line is Kim is excellent.
Absolutely.
Her ratings are right on the money.
That's right. Absolutely. And she was also part of our freshman class of certified mediums going back to 2005. So, and a fabulous, fabulous lady, too, with a very, very, very big heart. So that's what it takes to do this stuff. Let's see. So after Friday night, the conference begins early Saturday morning and runs through Sunday evening under the leadership of Forever Family Foundation's current president, Lloyd Auerbach, who will be joined in presentations by Tom and Lisa Butler of the Association Transcommunication and the current technology in communication with the deceased, Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant, researching the brain changes in mediums during communication. Research medium Janet Mayer sharing her sudden ability to speak poetry and prophecy of the Yanomami, an ancient tribe of the Amazon. Dr. Stephen Browdy and his work investigating physical mediumship. And we will have spirit communication demonstrations on both days from certified mediums Laura Lynn Jackson and Angelina Diana. This year we have several add-ons to the weekend, such as attending the live radio broadcast of this wonderful radio show, Signs of Life, which is free, and Medium Monday Breakfast Workshop for just an additional $30 for conference attendees, $65 for non-attendees. And that's our Afterlife Conference weekend. We have our Holidays Past raffle. You might want to get in now while the number assignments are low. The mediums in this raffle are Dave Campbell, Eliza Ray, Nancy Marlowe, Tracy Lee Nash, and Catherine Nadell. It's only $5 a chance. Our December Holidays Past events are scheduled for Natick, Massachusetts with medium Suri Bernstein on December 7th, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey with medium Janet Nohavik on December 17th, and on December 21st, it's Angelina Diana in South Windsor, Connecticut, and Amy Utzman in Fort Myers, Florida. Watch for event pages on the Forever Family Foundation website and email notifications in your inbox. And finally, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707.
Okay. Fran, before you go any further, can you tell us more about that event on Monday? That sounds pretty exciting.
Medium Monday. I wish I had the schedule here with me, and I don't, but it's really going to be a jam-packed, formal sit-down breakfast workshop. Everybody's going to get a plated breakfast. There's none of this buffet nonsense, fighting for the food. And once people are in and set, we have an entire program that includes a short film, information about mediumship, physical mediumship. We have demonstrations of spirit communication. We have audience participation where we will be showing, asking people to volunteer to come up from the audience and show them what good ethical mediumship is like versus places where mediums might make mistakes or do cold reading. And then we're going to take the people and we're going to break them into little groups and we'll give them little tiny workshops with mediums, with FFF certified mediums.
Wow.
So if you wanted to learn more about doing mediumship yourself, would this be a good opportunity to help enhance those abilities?
Well, that's going to be part of the workshop. And it depends on, and we're going to be breaking the people into groups as to where their interests lie.
Oh, good.
There are people who are attending who are mediums who have their own businesses. They're just not certified. Their interests are probably more towards what does it take to be a certified medium. And then we have people who believe that they would like to learn more about mediumship, and they'll be in a group getting those kinds of exercises. And then there are people who have lost loved ones, and they want to know how they may be able to hone up their skills to make their own connections and probably get a few readings while they're there as well.
That sounds great.
All right, so we're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be getting right into our topic of growing up psychic, and that's going to entail a whole bunch of things, not only psychic, but seeing things and seeing spirit and so forth. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word. .com.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about growing up psychic. I don't know about you guys, but I'll ask. My memory is not the greatest, but as I reflect back, I don't remember anybody among my friends or in my universe where people were talking about psychic information, let alone, you know, communicating with the dead. So Now, you may be different than me, but in the way I grew up, I just don't recall it even ever being discussed, and it certainly is today. Well, how about you, Melissa? Did you talk about those things?
We did. Yeah. We did, but I don't know if we used the word psychic so much. I can't recall what would have been used instead, other than we see dead people, but not as far as psychic predictions. However, when our daughter was just a little one, and now she's almost, she's 34, so going back that many years, she was always saying just what was on my mind, and it was so uncanny.
Right.
She wasn't aware that she was doing it.
Right. So, I mean, do you think that it's possible that we were experiencing these things, but we didn't classify it, you know, it was just the way it was?
I've knowing something was going to happen, knowing that the phone was going to ring and who was going to be calling.
As a child?
Yeah, sure. I've had a lot of instances of that. Precognitive dreams that I still remember today that I've had 40 years ago, things like that. I never experienced anything mediumistic, but certainly psychic I have. And as Melissa said, that our daughter came up with some incredible things that she came out with that couldn't be explained any other way, and now her daughter is displaying some of the same characteristics.
Yeah. Well, we certainly know from all the people that we've talked to that know about these things that intuitive ability runs in families. I mean, that seems to be a given. So it's not unusual to with what you describe. I just wonder, today you think about it. I mean, these ancient cultures, they relied on their intuitiveness, and why would, people don't need to get information these days from psychic means that they would think, because you have instant information in a second. You go on the internet, you can find out anything, So, why develop any kind of psychic skills? And yet, most people, the authorities on the subject say that the incidence of psychic children are growing, the acceptance and the among the general public is people are more aware and accepting of it. So is that a trend, you think, just because of the media today and certain shows, or do you think we're really going through a period of openness again?
That's what I'm always questioning. Yeah. Is it a new awareness? Or, I know, with us, is it people who've reached a certain point in life and you start questioning it? So I'm not really sure.
I think it is. I think I still believe in the new age. And, people were all tied to 12-12 or 2012 and all that as being the year of the big change the end of the Mayan calendar, which was a 26,000-year calendar. And when it didn't happen at the stroke of midnight on that date, everybody said, oh, it's bunk, just like the Y2K and that sort of thing, and they've dismissed it. And I still believe that an era, an age, is even longer than an era. When an age changes, it takes time. And as you said, there is evidence that it is changing, that the next generation is more aware. And we will see, as they get older, I hope that there will be more just general psychic abilities. But when you're talking about whether people had it or not, I mean, expressions that are part of the general vernacular, like, I had a hunch. Well, what is that? I mean, I had a hunch is a psychic thing.
Right. And gut reaction, right?
Yeah, gut reaction, coincidentally, things. They wouldn't be so recognizable and common terms if they weren't rooted in something.
Right.
And
I know a lot of when children exhibit or have these experiences, they're deeply affected by the attitude of the parents. Now, I know Franz had intuitive abilities as a child, and you remember certain of them, but I know or I surmise that if you would have told your mom about that, she would have told you that you're crazy and don't talk like that.
Well, I do remember an incident when I was little, maybe in kindergarten or something, and there was a, you know, those tall dressers they used to make, and a lot of drawers, and I was obviously little in kindergarten. There was no way I was reaching the top drawer. And I remember telling my mother that I wanted the doll that was in the top drawer. And my mother just totally freaked out because apparently, how did I know there was a doll in that top drawer? I remember her getting totally freaked out over that.
Yeah.
And then she opened the drawer and there was this doll in there. I wasn't surprised because I knew the doll was in there. But she had this look on her face like, okay, this is too strange to have to deal with right now.
Right, and that's a big problem, you know, because it doesn't freak out the child, obviously, but it freaks out the parent, you know. So the parent is fearful on a lot of for a lot of reasons, right? I mean, one, they're afraid that if you told somebody else, you'd be labeled, you know, as strange or weird, and then you'd have to deal with that. So it's a way of protecting you, and also maybe there's genuine fear that because of a parent's upbringing or religion, that somehow this was not something that's normal per se, you know. So attitude is so important by parents. Now if your mother would have said to you at that point, "That's really interesting, honey. How did you know that?"
my suspicions, and I got to go back to what Tom said, you know, it's like when you had those things growing up, you didn't classify them because it wasn't what it was. It was just there. It wasn't like it was peculiar. It happened. It was there. It wasn't unusual that I knew that there was a doll in the top drawer.
Right.
I knew there was a doll in the top drawer, period. And you mean you're supposed to open the drawer first before you know there's a doll in there? That didn't occur to me.
Right.
But my mother, apparently, who was much older, who knows? Maybe when she was my age, or maybe she, too, even at that age, was having experiences, but she didn't talk about it. Who knows?
Yeah.
But just to remember the look on her face, you know, and then I, of course, being only 5 years old, forced to relinquish the doll to me.
You know, Bob hit on a phrase earlier on that we have the internet and everything is at our disposal so quickly to get information, and I think that's one of the reasons why maybe spiritualism and psychic abilities are not as prevalent as maybe they were 100 years ago, because really we're dealing spirit and everything is energy. I mean, it's different forms of energy. And in countless stories of people's loved ones who flick the lights and that sort of thing, that they can manifest in electricity. So with this modern age, when everything is wires and circuits and everything, that spirit's having a little trouble getting through because it's competing now with the space that we're all hooked to. And I'm actually right now in the middle of reading the book A Team of Rivals that talks about Lincoln and coming to the White House and the Civil War and all that. And when the Civil War hit and the mass casualties, there's a section in the book that spiritualism went through the roof, and they accepted, and I should have gotten the quote, but they accepted that the furniture was alive, that things were moving around, and it was just accepted. Seances were everywhere. I mean, Lincoln lost a young son, and they immediately brought in mediums, and you know, and they thought nothing of it. And interestingly enough, I mean, that was the beginning of the Republican Party. But I mean, I'd be hard pressed to find the Republican Party getting behind spiritualism at this time.
Yeah, well, you had me worried for a minute that you were getting it back into history books without, you know, and veering off from the spiritual. But you managed to find spirituality through history.
I every book I read. Oh, there it is.
There is a book out, The Psychic Life of Abraham Lincoln, and I think we've discussed it in the past.
Yeah. The not only psychic. I mean, we have all heard countless accounts and stories from parents talking about their children seeing deceased relatives, usually grandparents that they never knew, and thinking nothing of it, and just like another person in the room, and the parents are all over the map in terms of reactions to that as well. You know, some of the parents are like, this is little Johnny's got what I have, you know, or what is this? And, you know, we should add, I mean, there are certain, you know, children that do have some sort of emotional issues, you know, and are seeing imaginary things that really are imaginary. Not everybody sees spirit, and there's a fine line as a parent. Do I seek professional help or do I not? You know, what? Oddly enough, that a lot of the parents' fear is that, oh, I'm going to bring my child and I'm going to be thought of in a poor light. You know, like I'm saying something that's so preposterous. You know, so I could see what a lot of parents must go through. You know, because I mean, we mentioned that before. I remember even with our own daughter, she was seeing imaginary friends, and in my world, I figured that's a problem. I mean, I wasn't aware of any of this stuff, and you know, we wanted to take her to get professional help to make sure everything was okay. Had I known then what I know now, the whole situation would have been different. I would have wanted to learn more, as much as I could from her, you know, and discuss it on a different level. So I mean, I think parents. It's a quandary. Sometimes you could do more harm by seeking professional help than just having a heart-to-heart talk. And sometimes you need professional intervention. And there are a lot of people, mental health professionals, that are open to this thing. You know, so if parents were thinking about taking them somewhere, you would want to take someone to a therapist or to a psychiatrist that was that truly was open to it. So that's an issue. You know, with apparitions, don't you wonder how children, I would imagine that children react differently by seeing, when they see an apparition. I mean, I'm sure you, Melissa, if you saw an apparition as a child, that might have made you joyous in some way or happy, you know.
Well, there was someone when I was under the age of 10, because I know we moved from the house I was living in when I was 10, that I described this fellow, Max, who was sitting on my nightstand. And to me, it was almost like your doll in the drawer. Just, well, yeah. Max came to visit, and I could describe what he was wearing. My family kept bringing up Max over the years. I mean, even as an adult, my brother was asking me more about Max. So maybe I spoke more about Max than my simple recollection of Max sitting on my...
Did anybody else in the family see Max?
No. With my daughter, she was always seeing something in her room. She was very uncomfortable in her room. Tom and I weren't sure if there actually was episodes of a peeping Tom, because there had been some activity in our backyard. But
yes,
so,
it's a different name.
God, I've heard them all. Tom, Sleeping Tom the Piper. Tom. Yeah, it goes on.
Yeah. But with our, so I was buying sage and smudging her room, just as, because I assumed it was probably spirit because of my upbringing and my grandmother and great aunts. Experiences, but now my granddaughter, who's 3, seems like a very happy, normally developing little girl. And in her playroom at home, during one of my recent visits, in the playroom where all her toys are, she suddenly pointed to a painting that's been hanging on the wall for quite a while now that Tom's mom had painted. And she looked at it, what's that? And she's pointing at it with this scared look on her face. And, of course, my first reaction is she's seeing something. She's seeing a ghost or something. All I could think to say in the moment was, well, I don't see anything. But I should have said, what do you see? later on that same visit, back, she was a little bit afraid to go back in the room right away, but then she did come back in the room without any coke. Like, kind of, the matter was forgotten. Now she's pointing at her little tea set by the window, and again, she suddenly stops, and her eyes open wide, and she points, she goes, "What's that?" And again, I wasn't thinking fast enough, and I was just like, gee, I don't see anything, but I put my hand out where she was pointing, and I really felt like an electricity in the air right where she had pointed to. So I'm going to be more prepared the next time these things happen. You know, I'm right. going to say, what do you see? And be ready like a reporter so I can answer that.
In a reading about a year or so ago, Laura Lynn Jackson, I guess for my daughter or someone.
She read from our daughter.
She said, you know, listen to what your daughter says when she's three, because she's going to be telling you things. She's going to get messages. So we're seeing that already. And
she does have some imaginary friends right now, mostly Alice in Wonderland.
It seems that from most accounts that the children, a lot of them stop talking about these experiences when they're in that six-year-old kind of a range, you know, and I guess that has a lot to do with, you know, going to school and sort of being indoctrinated into what's normal and what's not normal, and sometimes they really repress it, you know. And as I read some of these books with advice to parents, you know, they talk about the value of mentoring you know, to talk about these things. And to me, it's no different. Adults need mentoring, too. How many adults do we talk to? They call us every day, you know, that they had this experience or they had that experience and that they're afraid or they don't know what it means. They don't want to, you know. So I don't think children are any different than adults in that respect. It's when you see something that doesn't fit into your own paradigm of what's real and what's not, you need somebody to talk to, right? I mean, and that's part of what the foundation does. You know, we talk to you. I'm sure you do that in your personal lives as well. When, you know, do you find this sometimes because people know you're involved in the foundation and they know that you investigate certain things, that when something happens and they say, "Well, who can I talk to?" they pick up the phone, and they call, you know, one of you two.
Tom gets that at work more than I do. I think in our circle of friends, sadly, they're not that open to it. Don't ask me why. I shared that story where our friend said, "Oh, I don't believe in that stuff." After my father died, he appeared at the end of my bed. I said, "Don't you ever scare me like that again." And she wasn't a believer.
And how many people would beg to have that experience?
Oh, yeah. But Tom is sought out at work because of this.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when you read the biographies of the mediums and or talk to some of our certified mediums, it seems that 90% of them, their first experience was a grandparent coming to them.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. You know, usually the parents are still alive, and it's the grandparents that would have an interest in them.
Yeah.
And,
but I'd just like to mention to all of our listeners, if a grandparent has come to you, it doesn't mean that you're destined to be a medium.
I was going to say, we do hear that a lot. We, at some of our events, young people are there with their parents, and they go, "Well, she had a visit from grandma, so
where do
like
I get
develop.
Her trained?"
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's not what mediumship is about. It's a huge responsibility. It's something that really has to be thought out before you're going to take that upon yourself to work with people who really are on the edge and need evidence of an afterlife.
Yeah. Well, not only that, from what I understand and have read, some children see an apparition of somebody that's deceased, and it's a one-time event. It doesn't mean, you know, they're not psychic at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't ever happen again. But, you know, I guess we would think of it as that spirit really needed to make a connection at that time for one specific purpose, and that's what happened, you know. And then it's something that the child will either always remember or repress, but it doesn't mean, as Fran said, that this is a life path that you have to take because you saw it once, you know. So that's an interesting point. We're going to go to our break, and when we come back, if you would like to mention some experiences that your own children have had, feel free to call us at 1-888-627-6008. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about psychic, growing up psychic, and psychic children. We had a guest on the show once. Her name was Karen Goody. She's an expert and PhD in the field. And she wrote this book, Kids Who See Ghosts. And she makes an interesting point in the book that some of these kids that see these apparitions and these energies, they have an advantage over others, because for two reasons. One, they have this inner knowledge that life is not final, death is not final, and that life goes on. So that must stay with them for a good period of time. So, I mean, I see that as a definite advantage. I would imagine you all feel that, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing is that they have this feeling, they feel this connectedness, so they have this feeling that they can make a difference in communicating information to others that could help others and make a difference in the lives of others. So I guess that's the way that our mediums feel, right? Mediums feel that way, or if you're even a non-medium and you're just gifted intuitively and you provide information to others that is helpful, that's got to be a tremendous feeling. Of course, you have all these people that have some psychic stuff and then they just go around grabbing people and telling them stuff, right? We've all experienced that.
And selling them stuff.
Yeah. But children don't have those obvious inhibitions or restrictions, so they'll just give the information. That's a dilemma, though, for adults, too, right? I mean, if you get a piece of information, like sometimes I'll have a dream that somebody has died in my dream. And when I'm, you know, it's kind of upsetting because then what do you, I don't even want to say it out loud. You know, you ever have that? You know, you figure like somehow if I tell anybody about it, I'm sort of going to cement that into happening.
I think,
you know?
Tom's mom would say, you can't tell it before breakfast. After breakfast, it doesn't mean it'll come
to. Oh, really?
That's
interesting.
Can I just say this about that?
Yeah.
The fact that you have a dream that somebody dies, it's probably accurate. It just doesn't mean they're going to die that day. Everybody eventually dies.
That's true.
So you just got a peek at it, at the action, at what happened, or what's going to happen.
That's
right. There's no sense, because we're just assuming that it's going to happen right
because
away.
We live in a linear world where there's cause and effect. And on the other side, which is where you go when you're dreaming, there is no time and space. So you had the privilege of experiencing that. I don't know if you want to call it a privilege, but you did experience that because the time element was removed and you were able to see an event happen before it actually is happening.
Maybe it depends on how they died. Like if you see a truck hitting their car and they die.
Right.
Or they just happen to be dead.
Right.
And you're at their funeral or something.
That's true. That's an interesting point. You
so
know,
maybe...
Yeah, so then what do? You know, you have that...
Yeah, then you might just... So you might want to be careful.
Uncle, stay away from trucks today. I'm not telling you why, but just do it.
Don't cross the street.
Well, yeah. What about this feeling of empathy? You know, it's thought of not only with children that are intuitive, but anybody that's intuitive, you know, is more empathic. Do you think that's a general rule? I mean, we've seen that. We've also seen where it doesn't appear to be the case, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, because you're closer to the existence where you did have the energy flow, for lack of a better word, that you know, you're coming from the other side, being born to come into this physical, and you know, some of it stays with you for a while.
Yeah. And, well, if you're getting information, I mean, if you tell me something, it's one thing. But if I pick it up from you, like, mind to mind, it sort of puts everything in a totally different light, you know. I mean, that we're, you know, we truly, you tell me something doesn't mean we're connected.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm able to transmit thoughts in you, or you transmit your thoughts to me, that, you know.
It's a connection.
But it's a deep connection. It's not something that's superficial. And, you know, it makes you think that, yes, indeed, it's not just a trite saying that we are truly connected, which makes you more empathic. You know, I mean, I would think that eventually if our consciousness is evolving and we all will recognize this interconnectedness, then we will all be more empathic as physical time moves on.
You know, it's not exactly psychic, but sometimes, but maybe it is, just that natural ability, say you're in a large, room at a meeting or something, lots of people, and say somebody stumbles or does something kind of embarrassing, and you look around and you catch somebody else's eye, and you kind of give that, oh, yeah, did you see that? No words are exchanged.
Right.
But you kind of have that unspoken recognition that you both saw what went on. And in a way, I mean, it's not really psychic, but it's you're processing what they're thinking.
Yeah.
You both are thinking the same thing.
Right. And I'm sure some of the, you know, body language enters into some of that, you know, we're always sizing up people and you see just a slight little twitch or glimmer in the eye and you pick up on that.
And I'd have to say some people don't have that ability. They just don't. And I could even go as far to say that people who have certain disorders, they totally lack the ability to pick up on any of those cues.
Yeah. And some people they're not necessarily psychic, but they have sensitivities to the environment. So I wouldn't consider that psychic. Or even they won't walk into a room, you know, because they have a sensitivity to the room. Could be physical. We talk about, like hauntings, you know, where there are imprints into matter that can be re-released, and people pick up on that. Some of it, I would imagine, does have physical causes, or like, you know, electromagnetic things. And others could be truly psychic. You're picking up spirits in the room as opposed to residual energy, right? So, I mean, do you ever have that where you walk into a room and it doesn't feel right?
I have, but not to the degree that I hear others describe it. And I'm always intrigued by it when they say that.
Yeah.
That they just, ooh, you know.
I know Tom sometimes has a problem with a room when there's been a cat in it.
That's right.
Allergies can go to them.
Yeah.
But it is true, and we've talked about this, where you, and it's interesting, you know, when you walk into a room, let's say, where there's just been a fight, you know, or, you know, a disagreement, and even when you're not, you know, looking at the people and you're seeing scowls, and maybe the people aren't in the room anymore, but you just walk in there and you say, boy, there's some sort of something happened in this room, you know.
Well, again, back to this, that there are colloquialisms. Your attention was so thick you could cut it with a knife. That's a psychic expression.
And those expressions, like you alluded to, it just didn't happen. It happened for a reason. That's what people believe then, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned before, you saging a room. That's the purpose of saging, right? Is to somehow
clear out,
neutralize the
energy.
Negative energy.
And you know, thinking about when I said I grew up with these discussions, I recall that my mom and my sister were having a mediumistic reading, and I was sitting in the other room, and I could hear the whole reading. And when the medium was asking my mom and my sister, mentioning a certain name, and both my mom and my sister were clueless about it. And after the reading, I said, hey, when they mentioned this name, you know, and I reminded them who that was. And my mother said, oh, dear, she was just reading your mind. That's just psychic. I'm like, that's an everyday occurrence.
All right. Well, maybe it was at one time.
Yeah.
But, so how do I mean, now you're going through it possibly like with your grandchild, you know. So how do you, you know, it's difficult if you're giving advice to a parent, you know, and you see these things keep getting more and more intense. Do you tell the child that the child is special, you know, that they have this special gift or this special ability?
I'm going to answer that after I order those books that are on your website right now, because I think those are going to help my daughter. With her daughter, but she actually asked me to play it down when I went running in to say that something about the picture on the wall. I hope you didn't say anything.
Yeah. Well, also, I would imagine, just like in any other gift or talent, there are some parents that go overboard in embracing it, and it's sort of they want their children to the child to perform. You know,
yeah.
Why don't you show Anne Carey?
They see it on television, and they think it's like this big, you know, breakthrough Hollywood thing. So yeah, you know, it's like these crazy mothers that dress up these 3-year-olds.
Right.
You know.
So I always wanted to be psychic, or I always wanted to be a medium, and I couldn't. But now my child can. So let's see what we can do with that.
Classic stage mom.
Yeah.
Maybe we do. Maybe that's a new reality show. You know, psychic.
You are on to something. Where are our callers to line up their kids for this program? Now the phone is going to ring.
Toddlers and tarot cards.
We have our title. Now we need our contestants.
Well, I pulled out this book from Dr. Goody to see what she says about advice. You know what we should learn, and that you know she's saying that. Some of the things we've talked about, that more children are seeing ghosts than ever before, and most people expect the trend to continue. But the ability to see spirits seems to run in families, things that we knew already. Children can have an isolated episode or an intuitive, or they can have an intuitive talent that's part of their character, so it's either going to be part of them or it's not. I guess it's up to the parent to discern, you know, which one it is. Kids develop a specific worldview in which seeing spirit, she calls them spirit walkers. You know, we might call them ghosts or apparitions, but I guess if you're talking to a kid, spirit walker sounds better, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to say, too.
Understand that fear is a healthy response and helps children learn discernment and helps children transform fear into empowered actions. Don't quite get that, but
I don't either, because I think that if well, then again, it depends on the attitude of the parents when the first experience takes place with the child. Because if the parent is going to show fear, then that's what the child is going to know is the reaction to the experience.
Exactly.
But if the parent is fine with it, then the kid is fine with it, because like Tom and I said before, there was no judgment with it. It just was when you had those experiences.
And it's a two-way street, because the spirit, for a lot of the times, is a former loved one who's now on the other side. And if that person is coming back saying, "Oh, my grandchild," and the grandchild goes, "Ah," they're not going to come back.
Right.
You know, they're not going to want to stir, you know, fear. Yeah. They want love. They're not going. They don't want to harbor fear.
Right, so the two grandparents in spirit, one saying to the other, "So, Kirby, you scared the crap out of my grandchild." Right. Yeah, that's going to go on. Well, I think that's going to about wrap it up for this evening.
Oh, there's last thing I got to throw in here. Is that, you know, part of the new age that they say to recognize that there'll be increased sunspot activities.
Oh, yes.
Well, I just got an email from my cable company that from October 4th, tomorrow, for the next 10 days, we are to expect weird things to happen with our electronics because of increased sunspot activity. So yet again, evidence that the new age is coming.
Okay. We'll watch for that. And
watch for that. And know when your cable goes out. Oh, they will not. Oh, we sent you an email, so there's no refund.
Right.
So, but anyway, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Anne Hutchinson, Phyllis Alexander, Betty Alexander, Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Deb Martin, Tina Jocelyn, Barbara Russell, Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Barron, Eileen Lafada, Rita Springer, David Haith, Barbara Petillo, Glenna Irwin, Julie B., Stanley Newland, John Borland, Flora Prisco, Miriam Pierzga, Tanya Cash, Andy O'Brien, Jeanette Davies, Janet Spirelli, Joel Auerbach, Lenny Ficarelli, Rachel S., Lynn Cheney, Kimberly Saavedra, Johnny Jackson, Henry Stark, John Cowley, and Joan Lipke. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.